Hello, everyone. I'm Trent Luce. Welcome to another edition of Rural Routes, the program where we gather every... I can't see my knobs, Kelly Sullivan. That sounded bad, didn't it? Why are you laughing?
It's a little early.
Well, it depends on where you're at.
That's true.
Okay, focus, Trent. Focus.
Focus.
Rural Routes, we gather every day at this time. We discuss the issue. See how quick I get back
on
track?
Yeah, you do.
We discuss the issues between rural and urban America, and right off the bat, you're in trouble, Kelly Sullivan.
Oh, boy.
What color shirt am I wearing?
Red.
What day of the week is it?
Friday.
Red shirt Friday,
absolutely.
And you're sitting here in this lovely blue. Is that? That's not blue.
It's blue.
Blue.
We're patriotic around here.
Oh, if we just had somebody wearing white, we could be the flag.
Wouldn't it be? Yes.
What color is Nancy wearing?
Good old standard, sister.
Black shirts matter.
Absolutely.
We are in Fort Worth, Texas. The Superior Sale is taking place, the second to the last one of the year.
Absolutely.
And apparently the word is out. I only come to the Superior Sales and the historic Fort Worth Stockyards when Santa Rosa Ranch is selling their cattle.
I think that's a great time to come.
How does that happen? How come I only come when you're selling cattle?
Well, because we love Superior.
Or you sell on every sale.
Well, no, we don't. We just try to be very strategic, and I think we've been fortunate to see the market kind of spring back on us the past week or so.
There is a little bigger bounce in everybody's step, isn't there?
Yes, there is. A few more smiles, a few more teeth in the smiles, pep in the step.
I'm trying to get comfortable with all my cords and my knobs
and everything.
Because, see, I can't see. Yeah. I mean, we've already been down this path, but when I can't see my knobs, it's a bad deal.
I think
it's going to work.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Tell us about Santa Rosa Ranch.
Santa Rosa Ranch is, we are actually the largest seed stock producer of Brangus and Ultra Black cattle in the state of Texas. And so we market our bulls and foundation females and fortunately have a very good relationship with Superior Livestock to market our commercial calves. And we are in smack dab. We actually just finished fall calving. We're going to start spring calving here in the next couple of weeks. So, you know, it's an active time. We have lots of babies running around and lots of mamas getting ready to domino. So it's kind of fun. It's the fun time of year.
You should be in the marketing side of the business, Kelly.
Well,
because with that big personality, the beautiful blue and black, and I'm giving you this free promotion. Didn't even think about how I'm being set up to market Santa Rosa Ranch, the largest beef.
Brangus and Ultra Black.
Ultra Black,
yes.
And you know that means I have to ask you, Ultra Black, what does that mean?
Well, Ultra Black is actually a new registry through the International Brangus Breeders Association, where it is a breed up, if you will. Brangus cattle are 3/8 Brahman, 5/8 Angus. An Ultra Black results from actually putting an Angus back onto a Brangus to then come out with a 3/16 Brahman, 13/16 Angus animal. So getting a little bit more English influence back in there, still having that tick of ear, so still having that Bos Indicus influence there in those cattle. And what we have found is that with that breed up, it's actually allowed our cattle to go into regions that some people may not think to be traditional, quote-unquote, eared cattle regions, if you will. So we've been
like Nebraska.
Yeah, we've been marketing bulls up into Nebraska,
no
Missouri,
way.
And Iowa. Yes, we have.
Get out of here.
I promise you. And they've done really, really well, because especially in the summer months when it's been so hot and dry, those bulls have held up and they've been working and they've really tolerated kind of our changing conditions pretty well. So it's been exciting to watch the adoption, if you will, and seeing how well those cattle have worked.
So it's kind of an extension of the Gelby Balancer, the Lemmy Flex.
Exactly.
It's just what Brangus is doing to make that hybrid Angus composite.
Exactly. Exactly. And the thing is that the registry is very specific on the genetic makeup. Like I said, it's 3/16 Brahman, 13/16 Angus. And so there's not a lot of variability. So people get a more predictable performance out of those bulls as opposed to those that kind of have a range, if you will.
That's why I don't raise Ultra Black. I was wondering why. Because I didn't take algebra. So I don't know the fraction that it has to be to make it work.
You go back to fourth grade math. You do. It's kind of, and you know, when you ask your mother, why do I have to do this? Well, now I figured out why. So you do go back to basic fourth grade math to try to.
I know, right?
You do. and I have to constantly think of it. So anyway, it's an interesting challenge, but I will say that's really allowed our program to expand in a lot of different directions. So it's been an exciting adventure.
And then, are you following those cattle? I mean, you're selling bulls. Are you working with your customers to market their calves and get that data all back?
Yep, we are.
Produce a non-genetic.
Well, we are, especially those that feed them out. And then, of course, we are part of the Superior Progressive Genetics program here at Superior, where our bulls are concerned. So from a marketing standpoint, if our customers send their cattle over to Superior, they have the opportunity to participate in that value-added program. Which has been
one
a tremendous,
of the 14 one value,
of, yes,
14
one of the 14
value-added programs at Superior. I heard that on the radio once.
Yep, and it's important, and I think it's helped because what they're finding is that the performance of the calves that are by our bulls have been pretty consistent, and so by participating in that Superior Progressive Genetics program that are offered, it's helped our customers have a greater marketability of their calves as well. So. If we can partner, that's the whole thing. As you well know, it's a relationship business. And one thing that we're very proud of is our customers. I mean, we're part of their program. They're part of us, and we're part of them. And we want to do whatever we can to help make them successful. Because, again, I go back to, we had this conversation this week. You know, you could talk about seed stock development and everything like that. At the end of the day, we are all producing pounds of beef. We can never overlook what the end result is and who we're marketing it to. And so we're selling pounds of beef or producing pounds of beef and selling to a market of people that need to understand the nutritious value of the product that we produce.
Which is ultimately where we're going to spend most of our time talking today, is because you are on the cutting edge of supplying information and education to not only the customers, but people in like the dietetics business,
right,
which we'll talk about in a moment. But
sure.
For the last three minutes here, this is precision agriculture. And I don't think I don't even want to say our city cousins, our rural cousins understand how fine-tuned. I mean, it used to be we'd use a shotgun and we'd try things and hope they worked.
Yep.
We now have, in all of food production, whether it be cotton, cattle, or corn, we accidentally, they all started with a C. That's kind of cool. We have zero variability. We have to hit a certain target because our margins are so slim, and we want what you just said repeatedly, a uniform product that's consistent across the
board. Exactly. And I think that we as producers, and I've always said this, you know, a lot of times when you're wondering why aren't people understanding what it is that we do, we need to look in the mirror sometimes and realize it's really our responsibility to provide that information to our consumers and help them appreciate what it is that we do. Typical of people in ag production, heads are down, working hard every day,
right.
And we just do what we do. And, you know, it's kind of like to try to have a conversation and explain to someone who may not be aware of our industry, to try to even explain what it is we do, sometimes can be a very daunting task. But unless we do that, unless we're proactive and have those conversations, then there is going to be just a bunch of misinformation out there. And so they do. You're right. We operate on those razor-thin margins of what we do, and we have to be very specific.
We hope there's a margin.
We hope there is.
Yeah, positive absolutely. Margin.
Absolutely. And your management and everything that we do, you're exactly right. But if we are not... cautious in making sure that we direct everything very specifically in any of our production techniques, you know, we've seen too many times where mistakes have been made and you know, people are not in this industry anymore. So you're right, precision agriculture is a very good term.
See, one should not make assumptions. I knew better than that because I looked at you and I assumed you were a millennial.
Uh-huh.
But you've now proven that you're not a millennial.
Thanks.
Because you said you have to look in the mirror. If you were a millennial, you would have said, once in a while, you got to take a selfie and know where you're at. True story?
Very true. Very true. I'm not a big selfie person.
Well, you should be. You would need your mirror.
Well, I guess that's what they do. They look in they look in their phones.
That's
don't what they now.
That's their mirror.
Yeah, and I still carry a compact around in my purse.
A what?
A compact. You know, I'm still
a
girl.
I have no clue.
Powder your
never
nose.
Had a compact.
Well, you got
a
powder.
I like
nose
big.
So
I like a big four-door pickup.
Okay.
Okay, this is the point in time when I talk about Superior.
Yes, as you should.
But we have 35 seconds. Why don't you give a little commercial for Superior here today, Kelly Sullivan? Maybe you could get a job.
I don't know.
With your big personality, with my marketing big personality, expertise.
Let me tell you, one thing, we have been Superior customers for years now, and I will tell you, it gives us, Santa Rosa Ranch, it gives us a tremendous outlet to market our calves. It gives us the most broad market we could ever possibly hope to gain just by virtue of how Superior operates. And so we market our calves. I mean, there's no telling where they're going to end up going, the four lots that we're selling today. We would never be able to achieve that without Superior being in place. And like I was mentioning before with the value-added programs, we, as a operations at Santa Rosa Ranch, invest a tremendous amount in our management, in the way that we produce our cattle. And for that investment that we make to really be recognized and an opportunity that Superior offers us, that's tremendous, and we can't find that anywhere else. So we're very, very fortunate.
On the web at SuperiorLivestock.com.
Absolutely.
Find your rep. We'll be back with more Kelly Sullivan after this. This is me doing this like the TV guy. Welcome back to Rural Routes. I'm Trent Luce, historic Fort Worth Stockyards, where, you know, this 2016's been all about divine intervention, Kelly Sullivan.
It has.
From things that have happened in the country to the presidential election to me coming today to Fort Worth.
Hasn't it though?
And I don't think I want to get into that today, but it just hit me today why I'm here today.
Well, you're
That's like a cliffhanger, isn't it?
I was going to say.
You're going to have to tune
in
next week.
You have many, multiple reasons, yes.
You want me to give you just a little snapshot?
I would love it. I'd love a little preview.
So what was the most divisive, troubling time in our nation's history?
I'd argue right. We just got out of it.
There's one worse.
Jeez.
Oh, no, you're thinking too hard.
Yeah, you're making me think too hard.
Just think about nation's history. When were families divided against one another?
Oh, well, Civil War.
Civil War.
Absolutely.
Without question, the Civil War is the most divisive time in our nation's history. Second most divisive time? We're living it.
I'd agree.
What brought the nation back together at the end of the Civil War? It was the Texas Vaquero that drove 6 million head of cattle up what was then called the Chisholm Trail. Mm-hmm. And those cattle got on a rail car to Abilene, Kansas, and they went to Chicago. They went to Illinois. They were fed grass and fattened, and they went to Chicago. And a guy named Swift developed a rail car, Augustus Swift, that could take that meat to the eastern part of the United States so that the people had something to eat at a time when they could rebuild and mend the nation together. So it was literally the cattle drive era that only lasted for 14 years, from 1867 to 1892, that reconnected this country. And it was rural America in 2016 that stood up and finally said, this is what we think is important for the future, which is why Donald Trump won. And to me, I drove on what is now known as Interstate 35, which was originally the Chisholm Trail, because that is the same symbolism that we need to reconnect the United States. Rural America reaching out to say, we need to fix this.
I agree. We have a great opportunity in front of us, I think.
That's my stump speech for 2017. You just got a glimpse.
Fantastic. I love it. I'm very hopeful. And I think that people, I mean, you if you talk to anybody, even people that may not have supported the president-elect,
right.
I think they still look at, okay, I'm hopeful. I hope. It's kind of interesting. I had a conversation with a friend of mine who's an educator. And she said, you know, President-elect Trump scared me. However, I relied upon the fact that he was a businessman. And to be successful, you have to understand how to work together with people in order to be successful. That's my hope. And that's why I'm excited. She didn't vote for him, by the way. She voted for the other candidate.
Thank you for not naming the other candidate.
But so I found that interesting, and I appreciated her objectivity
right.
at that point. You know, she said, you know, it is what it is. I did not support the president-elect, but I'm hopeful, and I'm excited to see what he's going to do. And I think that's the general tone, I think, that most people have, unless they're completely motivated in the opposite direction. But
I haven't talked about this because I don't want to appear to be braggadocious, but did you know that he's the first president or presidential candidate to ever form an Ag Advisory Committee?
Yes, yes, and I know that you are a member of that. So congratulations, and I'm thrilled to death that you were on there.
But my point in that is not just to brag about me. My point is truly it's put together so that the same reason that he was elected continues, in that the people in the country feed information up the flagpole about what's important.
Yep.
Remaining in touch with grassroots America is vitally important.
Well, and clearly that word was spoken
right
in November. I mean, you know, it was an article in Wall Street, I think, or maybe it was the Washington Post, about Secretary Vilsack said, and he basically warned the other Democrats, look, you better recognize, you better listen to what rural America is saying, because they spoke.
Mm-hmm.
And the result was not what we all expected it to be. But it was an interesting article.
The only radio interview I ever had where my guest hung up on me.
Oh, really?
Secretary Vilsack.
There you go.
Yeah. We won't go any farther with that.
Okay. Gotcha. But he did say that, and I appreciated the fact that he did.
I agree with what he said there. It's just philosophically, we're very different.
Mm-hmm.
So, where do we go from there? How do we get there? Divine intervention.
Your divine Chisholm intervention
trail,
discussion,
the modern-day Chisholm Trail, which thousands of people drive on every day, called I-35, and they have no idea how instrumental it was in building our nation back.
Well, it's an opportunity. We do have an opportunity in front of us. We really do. Like I said.
And what were the two important parts of that, Kelly, that made that happen? People and cattle.
Absolutely.
And that's where we're at again. People and cattle. As I pull my cords from places.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. Yep. The cow. The most amazing. The original ethanol factory.
Exactly.
What is it? God made this little cellulose consuming thing that nobody else can do anything with and turns
exactly.
it into the most delicious nutritional source you can find.
Absolutely. And that's the interesting conversation I had with someone not too long ago. I said, you know, why do you think grass is here? Why do you think grass is grown? We as humans can't convert that grass into fuel for our bodies. So clearly we need to depend on the ruminant.
Right.
To consume that grass and convert it into muscle that then can be consumed as beef in one of the most nutritious sources of protein that there are. And when you look at just, you know, 3 ounces of beef.
The most nutritionally dense 3-ounce substance of food on the planet.
Without question.
Yeah.
You can't, it's very difficult to find.
And you, Kelly Sullivan, spent a lot of time in that conversation.
You did, yes. I have been, actually, and it's been an interesting year. Last year, when the preliminary dietary guidelines were released, and it was, as we know, at the time that the preliminary guidelines were released, lean red meat was not included. That, first of all, was completely misinformed, I think, in the committee's design, so to speak. As we know now, the final dietary guidelines that were released, the final version, did include lean red meat, but at the time, you may recall that they did not. And then we saw this movement of quote-unquote meatless Monday taking place.
Internally at USDA, even.
Absolutely. And I'm telling you, it you know, what do you do? So you're sitting here demonizing.
I love our live studio audience we have today, too. We can't say everything she says, but when she contributes, it's pretty good. I wish
awesome.
I had a microphone. I'm
Me
sorry,
too.
Kelly. Go ahead.
I love side commentary.
Yeah.
Thank you, Nancy Gill. And, you know, no, it's perfect. Her side commentaries are always
a source. I should have mic'd up.
Always a source of information for me. But when those guidelines were released and that movement for Meatless Monday took place, you know, what was the point? Well, we all know where that was coming from.
Absolutely.
I mean, it had absolutely nothing to do with nutrition. It was a movement on behalf of those who do not agree with what we do. So it was completely transparent. But still, that was a movement that took place. Well, it was interesting. I'm originally from Galveston, Texas. It's an island in the Gulf of Mexico, south of Houston. And Galveston Island is the home of the University of Texas Medical Branch, which is the oldest medical school in the state of Texas. I was born there, although I am a graduate of Texas A&M University.
I've heard of that school.
Yes. Very proud graduate of Texas A&M University and also a very proud graduate of the TCU Ranch Management Program.
Which is what we talked about the last time.
Exactly. And still greatest influence in my life. But even still, I am a UTMB baby and my family is still there. The sixth generation of my family is being born there as we speak. And so we're involved because it's our hometown. UTMB instituted Meatless Monday. Well, oh, yes. Well, so there was a conversation we had with Dr. David Callender, who is the president of UTMB. Well, Dr. David Callender is from Wichita Falls, Texas, which is a large ag community here up in North Texas.
Ag and military.
Absolutely. And he said, you know what? What are we going to do about this? You all are right. We shouldn't be demonizing animal-based protein. What can we do?
Who initiated if he agreed? Somebody internally and he wasn't on top of it?
No, no. We had that conversation with him.
So we could make that like a cliffhanger to make people come back after the break.
And we can find out how we put it all together.
Okay, you did fairly well on your Superior ad, but this time you got to do an ad for the Old American Beef Battalion.
Oh, boy. Greatest. Still one of the greatest programs ever. I mean, it is All American Beef Battalion. Is there anything better than to honor our military men and women? We still live in the greatest country in the world. And I mean, it just, if your heart doesn't swell with pride every time you see the stars and stripes, there's nothing better that we can do as an industry than to honor our military men and women. And the All American Beef Battalion makes such a wonderful, wonderful effort to do that and just try to provide a little bit of thanks that we can as an industry to them.
350,000 people in 9 years have been handed a plate with a one-pound ribeye, cheese, potatoes, corn, a dinner roll, and dessert, and a handshake, and said thank you. 350,000. Do the math. It takes $12 per person to do that, and 100% of those proceeds come from farm and ranch families.
See?
On the web at steaksfortroops.com. Don't you love how I put you on the spot?
I'm telling you.
Yeah. You should have your phone a friend wired into your headset or something. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more Kelly Sullivan and ask her why Nancy has a sign for her up on her wall after this. Welcome back to Rural Routes. Reckless Kelly, my guest, Kelly Sullivan. What is that all about anyway? You have your own little sign
somewhere in time?
That was a
great
band.
Reckless Kelly? Oh, yes.
Reckless Kelly's a band?
Oh, yes. They just came out with a new album, I think, last month, if I'm not mistaken. They've been around for how long, Nancy? Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Again, why don't we have her wired up? Oh, because Trent didn't come adequately prepared.
We can get some commentary from the links.
If we only had a production studio anywhere near, we could probably find what we need.
Wonder where we could find one.
Any idea?
Superior Productions, perhaps? I know. I prefer the office. This is more fun.
I like this office.
I do, too.
Of course, it's all about the company I keep.
That's true.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's approach this just a little bit, because I've spoken at Texas A&M a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that there was a cult in the making down there. And then when you and I met here the first time, the cult just, I mean, it's at your core. And then I allow an 18-year-old to go from Nebraska to College Station.
Yes.
And it took like 10 days, Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
And she's already talking to me.
Yes, she went to fish camp.
And she's already talking to me like she's a member of the cult.
She is.
Yeah, what's up with this Texas A&M cult? look at you. If I could only...
Was that my evil laugh?
If I could see your... People could see your face. They maybe didn't need to.
Oh, it's a great place. It is. I mean, let me tell you, we're blessed in this country to have some fantastic agriculture universities. We really are. And now Texas A&M, of course, is more than just agriculture, but as I try to remind everybody...
Oh, it's agri-life sciences.
Yes, it's agri-life sciences, but what I try to remember, try to remind everyone is Texas A&M University, you can never forget what that A stands for, agriculture. So it started out as Texas Agriculture and Mechanical College. TAMC.
This is why we don't have her mic'd up right there.
Says the red writer.
Okay, did you know Colorado State was originally Colorado A&M?
Was it?
And they dropped because they did not want to celebrate the agricultural component. They dropped A&M.
But they bring it back.
They still have. And I was fortunate to be a part of this 1 year
program.
At a football game, and they have a big A&M old ag celebration.
Good.
And Colorado State sucked for a lot of years. I'm serious. but they've got things turned around.
Oh, they do. They have a tremendous program.
Yeah.
And they do.
Things are on the... I actually brought a Texan in. I kind of turned it around. I won't talk about him. But anyway.
Yep. It's a... We, you know, I'm glad that your daughter is enjoying it. That's the most...
She loves it.
Well, the thing is that... Like I said, I'm very proud, a proud graduate. My siblings, I have four siblings, and so the five of us are graduates. All five of us went to Texas A&M. My father graduated from Texas A&M. My poor mother did not. But at the time, it was an all-male military university. And so my mother graduated from the University of Texas Medical Branch at the School of Nursing, as a matter of fact.
Cool.
And actually, that's how she and my father met in Galveston. So... Texas A&M is a very special place. I mean, we do enjoy a wonderful network of former students, and it's a tight group. It really is, and there is a common love and a common bond that university shares. And like I said, I'm very proud to be a graduate of Texas A&M.
So I'd like to tell you that Libby picked Texas A&M because of the culture, because of the great school that it is, or because that it's the only school in the nation where nutrition is part of the ag school.
Yep.
But the truth of the matter is it was far enough away from mom and dad she didn't have to worry about them, and it didn't snow.
Yeah. I will warn her, as someone who has lived through several winters in College Station, Texas, it may not snow, but it can get icy, and we are in a river bottom there, and so the humidity factor is something that can either stifle you in the summertime and chill you to the bone in the wintertime.
Right.
It'll cut straight through.
She didn't move there until like August 10th.
Oh, I bet she was wondering what the heck she was doing.
But there are already days that she called her dad and said,
oh my gosh,
Maybe I'll miss the snow a little bit.
Yeah. And let me tell you, because we had a very, very hot fall. Yeah, it can be overwhelming, the humidity factor, but...
Well, that's what makes it all go around.
But exactly.
I kind of glazed over that, but that's a big deal to me.
Yeah.
That the nutrition degree, I'm not talking about animal nutrition. I'm talking about human nutrition degree is part of the ag school.
Exactly.
Which is something that we should celebrate all across this country, that nutrition is part of life, agri-sciences, and agriculture.
Without question. All the way around. I mean, that's not, you know, and it's kind of interesting, you know, we're talking about this protein. Well, we haven't gotten to talk about the protein.
No,
we'll get there.
I'm headed with that, by the way.
But, you know, that was an interesting conversation I had with some nutritionists and some registered dietitians, was the link that obviously our industry has with their practice. And sometimes that's not always recognized because they look at just the science, but then when you put a face with a producer, they realize there is a network for them to draw from and get information about our production practices and things of that nature, to understand really what type of technology we use to develop the food that they then recommend to their patients. And trying to create that link between the two is a really unique opportunity that we have as an industry, because ultimately what we need to make sure is that message about the food that we do produce is actually getting to the front lines. And the thing that I find interesting, and you know, this is a conversation we need to have with a lot of the medical schools in the state, is that, not the state, excuse me,
the nation. The Republic of Texas is one of 50 states.
I know.
I recognize you probably struggle with that, but.
Well, you know, there's some days. Anyway.
Yeah, but, like Monday through Sunday.
Exactly. But there is not a lot of nutrition information that are provided to medical students. It's not part of their curriculum.
You know what? That's probably a good thing, Kelly, because had there been, it would have been all wrong.
That's very true.
Because we've been educating people that, number one, the word you used a couple of times earlier that I'm going to come back and get you on is lean red meat.
Yes, exactly.
Fat is a nutritional value that is now being appreciated.
Absolutely.
This week we saw even ice cream. Somebody said, oh, my goodness, eating ice cream for breakfast could help your intelligence. It's because the ice cream is made from fat in the whole milk,
exactly,
which is a brain food.
Exactly.
So, and I give 90% of the credit to my now friend Nina Teicholz from New York City, 27 years a vegetarian. She gets an assignment to do a research project on fats and why people are getting fat. And she now feeds her family bacon and eggs every morning for breakfast and wrote the book, The Big Fat Surprise, because lo and behold, all of this proper nutrition has been hidden.
Exactly. You know, and the thing is, if you go back to our you go back to the caveman era and you think there were no processed foods available to any of those people. So there was always a balance of protein, carbohydrates, and fat in a person's diet. No one ever said, oh, well, I need to target this and I need to get fat-free that, or I need to get low-fat this, or I need to get, you know, low-carb this, that, or the other. What it's done, I think, is that trying to strip our food of those different type of nutrients have really screwed up the metabolisms of the human 100%. Population.
Yep.
And so what's happening is that our body as a machine it's set up to process these different elements in a way, and then when you either remove it or add or subtract or what have it, your metabolism kind of goes, hold on one second, I'm not running efficiently. So it's all about balance and moderation. And if we can get back to that and understand, you know, again, I'm not a nutritionist. I'm not a scientist. I'm an I'm in the cattle business.
You do more nutrition work for your own cattle than any medical doctor will ever do for
their
patients.
That's very, very true. I mean, and as we know, anybody, I've told people, I said, look, we produce pounds of beef. How do you think that happens? It's through proper nutrition and proper management of our cattle.
We produce three times the amount of beef per animal that we did in 1951.
I know, which
and
is
we've accomplished
tremendous.
That by all of those things you just named.
Absolutely. Exactly. And so, you know, you go to that, and that's what I always, you can't, you know, one thing we look at, for example, in the seed stock business, is that you can't single trait select a bull on EPDs, for example.
I don't know. Angus breeders have done it forever.
Well, that's another conversation. Anyway, but you can't single source select your nutrition
100%.
Either. So, you know, we need to kind of pay attention from one arena to the next about the idea of balance, moderation,
and fermented
efficiency
grains.
exactly
yeah, because it was those cavemen eating meat while they're hunting that were out too long, and the rice they had over there in the pot fermented, and they think, oh, this is kind of good.
Exactly.
So they got meat and beer.
Exactly.
That's a balanced diet.
Hey, I mean, that's what I've always said. You can never, there is nutritional value to beer and to wine.
There's food value in beer.
There is
no alcohol value in food.
Exactly. So
it's moderation of all moderation of all things, Kelly.
Absolutely.
Reckless Kelly.
Reckless Kelly. That's me.
I didn't even know there was a band named Reckless
Kelly. Oh, yeah.
Kelly.
They're good stuff. Really good. Really good Red Dirt music.
So, it is Red Dirt?
Yep.
We got a Red Dirt concert in Kearney, Nebraska the first week of January.
There's nothing like it.
2 years in a row I've had tickets to take my bride to that event, and something happened.
Well, you need to take your bride, Kelly.
Right. Oh, my goodness.
Yes, see,
my world,
you have your own reckless
many,
Kelly at home.
My world has too many Kellys.
I know. There's no such thing as too many Kellys.
Oh, yeah.
So
I can eliminate one today.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Go on
all right,
down the road.
Are you going to do a new and improved Superior ad?
Oh, well, I don't know about new and improved, but I'll tell you one thing about Superior is that the platforms that are offered to producers in order to market their cattle are really a great opportunity for us. I mean, it's truly a partnership, you know. So not only do we have, obviously, like the sale that's going on today, sell calves, but also the different production sales that are offered. One thing that's really great is to the country page, for example, is a wonderful opportunity for people to put cattle up on the country page that are available for open bid at all times. And they're just unlimited resources. One thing, what we enjoy is that we try to encourage our bull buyers, for example, that when they're ready to market their calves, to come and sell on Superior, because the investment they've made in our genetics makes them eligible for the Superior Progressive Genetics Program.
Mm-hmm.
And I have one of my customers I talked to yesterday, actually on the way up here, told me that the calves they weaned this year were the largest they've ever had by our bulls, and they're going to be marketing those calves on Superior within the Superior Progressive Genetics Program. So, because they have met more success on the revenue side using that track.
And the most important resource at Superior, the people.
Without question.
Because you have a rep. If you picked a good one, which I'm looking to do better in 2017, it's all about your rep.
No question.
Yeah.
We've been working with Gerald Yeager, who's been one of the Superior reps since the beginning, as a matter of fact. He's been with Superior since Superior started.
Yeah. So I'm trying to get my rep, Bill Brody, to ratchet it up, because I keep telling Kenny Wayne Brody to take more roll route after this. Welcome back to Roll Route. I'm Trent Luce. I can't have you on very often, Kelly. So you get me distracted. You take me off in all of these other tangents. Now we're talking about NFR and weddings and what happens in Vegas, stays in Vegas, and George Strait and Amarillo by morning and all this other stuff.
There's nothing like George Strait.
I could actually have you on as a weekly guest.
That would be fun. We have an interesting conversation. There's no telling what direction it would take.
What did Nancy say there? I heard.
I don't know.
I heard.
Reckless Kelly and Trent Lee.
Hey, I think we're on to something.
I think so, too.
Yes.
We're going to be a traveling band.
Cool. I'm going to play the our 11-year-old Landry, for whatever reason, decided last week that she was going to make everybody in the family put together their bucket list.
Oh, I love it.
I said, Landry, you know that's what you want to do before you die. No, it isn't, Dad. It's just what you want to do. And I want to know what everybody's bucket list is. So she put together this little form and everything. And one of my things is learn to play the fiddle. Because I have zero musical ability.
I always wanted to learn to play the fiddle. I really did.
Okay, now we got to do Reckless
Kelly. And the banjo.
I'll just be happy with the fiddle.
I want to do the banjo.
Okay, so let's fiddle on over and talk about protein
nice
symposium.
There you go. Awesome.
In the value-added department of Santa Rosa Ranch, you're on... in the cutting edge, in the trenches, letting people know that, hey, at the end of the day, it's not just that we like cattle. What we're producing is vital to healthy living.
Oh, without question. And I think that as, you know, as a producer, like I said, you know, we really have to take responsibility to communicate to our consumers about what we do. And when we went back about talking originally about the preliminary dietary guidelines and this concept of Meatless Monday, we can't allow our industry to be taken hostage by people that are just perpetuating false information, period. So mentioned a little while ago about a conversation that we have with Dr. David Callender at the University of Texas Medical Branch in Galveston, my hometown. You know, the fact that there's information out there that needs to be provided to healthcare practitioners. Well, Dr. Callender put me in touch with Dr. Blake Rasmussen, who is the chairman of the Department of Nutrition and Metabolism at UTMB Galveston. Dr. Rasmussen, he oversees, actually, UTMB is the third largest protein research institution
really?
In the country. Yes. And Dr. Rasmussen, Dr. Elena Volpe, Dr. Doug Padden-Jones, they are all there on faculty at the Department of Nutrition and Metabolism. And we started having a conversation about coordinating a protein symposium where we would bring research to a forum, if you will, that we could essentially offer recommendations to healthcare practitioners to take back to their patients. So ultimately, at the end of the day, we coordinated a symposium, and it was called Optimizing Protein Through the Health Span. And the discussion was examining protein needs essentially from birth until death, if you will.
Cool.
Among the different populations. So pediatric and adolescent patients, there was sports nutrition for not only performance and recovery post-injury. There was a conversation about protein needs in an aging population and just very practical recommendations that could be provided. And it was a day-long symposium we had on November the 16th. We had 150 attendees that were all registered dietitians, nutritionists, internal medicine and family practitioners, nurse practitioners, and physician's assistants that came together for a day. And we were able to present six or seven different talks on protein needs. And it was a tremendous success. It was supported through the checkoff, by the way. So we worked directly with Dr. Shailene McNeil at National Cattlemen's Beef Association and the Texas Beef Council, which actually I'm proud to say I've just become a member of the Texas Beef Council.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So I'm very proud of that because as a producer, I'm seeing where my checkoff dollars are being used. And that's going to the front line and making sure that our healthcare practitioners are being given the proper information to be given to then be translated into practice.
So just letting you know, you're walking into a trap before I walk you into a trap.
Sure.
Did Shailene talk about the benefit of fat?
Absolutely.
She did?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
It's about time. I was beating her over the head for 10 years, and she'd say, Trent, I know what the science says, but we can't tell these doctors this.
Yep. That was a discussion. Actually, Dr. Richard Thorpe, who is the president of Texas Southwestern Cattle Raisers, actually.
And a medical doctor.
And a medical doctor.
Cattleman and a medical doctor.
Cattleman
he holds
and a medical
the key
doctor.
To so much of this.
He does. He does. And he's a wonderful representative. Very proud to be a member of Texas Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association. But Dr. Richard Thorpe was there presenting as well and having that discussion about saturated fat in the diet. And I think it was very important. So, really, like I said, it was a really good opportunity. Like, you know, as a producer, seeing my checkoff dollars actually go to work for our industry,
right,
and being able to give really science-based information to these healthcare practitioners, it opened up so many arenas that it really at this point we've had requests to hold different symposiums. We've had a request to have one in San Antonio, one to have here in
awesome.
Fort Worth, and so we really hope that it's a springboard for future types of.
Assuming that one, and would you say the next one's going to be in
San Antonio, most likely, yeah.
So assuming that the Reckless Kelly Sullivan and Trent Luce band will be performing in that area at the same time, maybe I could come along and we could stream this live to the entire world just the folks in Texas get to hear it.
Absolutely. And it's not just the folks in Texas, which is really good because, for example, several of the presenters, Dr. Heather Leidy, came from Purdue.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Stu Phillips came from McMaster's University in Canada, in Ontario. Dr. Phillips was kind of, in a way, my inspiration for putting this symposium together. Because
an Ontarian?
Yeah. He made a presentation last year at the International Livestock Congress in Houston, the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo in March, which we will be having again this March as well. But he made a presentation, Dr. Phillips did, about protein needs for muscle protein synthesis in an aging population. And I heard this
presentation. I want to hear what he says because I've looked at the research on this, and people always think the older they get, their protein requirements decrease.
In fact, they.
It's the opposite.
It's the absolute opposite.
Eat less protein, you lose muscle.
Absolutely. And so when he made this presentation, I was sitting there. And I thought, this is what we need to be
Absolutely.
Talking about. He was making a presentation to academics and to other cattlemen. Don't preach to the choir. Turn around and preach to everybody else. And that's really was the inspiration for putting the symposium together more than anything. And it was funny. He spoke, and I invoked his name when I was making my opening comments. And he just said that I'm the one that really, I said, you're the one that got the wheel started. He really was. So he was a part of our presentation. But there's so much wonderful research out there right now. And it's just that we need a format to communicate that.
Isn't that crazy, Kelly, that we have more information that people don't know at a time when we live in the greatest availability of information ever.
Absolutely.
And the problem is that misinformation travels 10 times faster than facts.
Exactly.
In all regards.
Absolutely. There's no doubt. And as we know, the misinformation is being perpetuated by those that really have no interest in actual human nutrition.
Right.
It's being.
So, did you have Dr. Wu on there?
No, Dr. Wu was not with us.
Well,
but he's
I read
actually
my
on faculty,
Texas
though.
Agri-Life Sciences newsletter this week, and it said Dr. Wu did a study that said, in the last 20 years, we've decreased our meat consumption by 14%, and guess what? We've increased our body fat.
Exactly.
We've had increased obesity in that same period of time, and then he correlated it to other countries, Asian countries in particular, where the more wealth they acquire, the more they spend on money, and they've instrumentally just gotten bigger, stronger skeletal muscle.
Exactly.
Kids and mental health.
You know, I had a conversation with my internal medicine doctor, and her father is a cardiologist from Nebraska.
Cool.
Yeah. So he grew up
in
Nebraska.
In the middle of
exactly.
This little Texas festival.
Very exactly. Oh, we love everybody.
No, you don't.
Oh, yes,
you,
we do.
Every other sentence is Texas this, Texas that. But go ahead.
So,
Nebraska pride coming through here.
No, my gracious. Yeah, but anyway, so her father, who is a cardiologist practicing in New Jersey, mm-hmm. she grew up in New Jersey, is originally from Nebraska. And she has a sister. As a child, my doctor would not eat meat
right.
at all. Her sister, on the other hand, did consume beef. Her father, as a cardiologist, by the way, has always advocated for beef consumption. Mm-hmm.
And what state did you say he was from?
Nebraska.
Go ahead.
Absolutely.
Jerry, I rest my case.
One of our greatest beef-producing states in this
actually,
wonderful country.
The number one state, thank you very much,
exactly.
at this
there
moment ahead
it.
Of Texas. But we're running short on time, so
but
you better hurry.
His point to her, and now he is a very large man. Evidently, he's 6'3", very healthy. She is incredibly petite. I think maybe 5'4", I think. Her sister, on the other hand, is 5'10".
Mm-hmm.
And she now consumes beef because she sees that she limited herself, her nutritional intake as a child.
She would be great radio.
Oh, she's wonderful. And she advocates for it, which was really, really fascinating.
Right.
So now her children, now that she has children, her father said, do not limit my genetics by not feeding your children beef. My grandchildren will be beef consumers. And
that
she
is awesome.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
What a perfect place to stop our show.
Eat more beef.
Buy more Santa Rosa Ranch genetics.
Absolutely.
And market your cattle through Superior as you go to the Fort Hood and feed people beef.
See, everything's full circle.
It
We're
is.
All in this together. We are all in this together.
That's why we have our powwows in a circle, because there's no beginning, there's no ending.
Absolutely. There isn't. You're exactly right. It's completely full circle.
You know, as much fun as it would have been to have Nancy mic'd up and join us on the air.
I like the sideline comments.
Oh, yeah,
comments.
It's actually
the sideline
just hysterical
comments
because
the best.
People listening wonder, what are you guys so enthralled with? And she's like a little canary over there just, you know, chirping her own tune.
Yeah, you do. Yes, yeah. We all do.
Congratulations on the wedding next week, Nancy.
Sadie, married lady. It's going to be fun.
Okay. Are you going to Vegas?
I wouldn't miss it. Would not.
Apparently,
miss
you got
it.
An invitation.
Well, you know, there is a little rodeo going on right now.
Do you have
in
any
Vegas.
Cheese to go with my wine, Nancy? That'll do it. We have successfully journeyed down the road. Did we give your ranch?
Oh no.
Web address.
Our web address: Santa Rosa Ranch. www.srrbrangus.com.
Did I mention I get $200 every time you mention that?
Did you?
We've successfully journeyed down the road connecting rural and urban America. My thanks, as always, to Kelly Sullivan, the new reckless Kelly. I'm Trent Luce, reminding you that all roads do lead to a rural route in the historic Fort Worth Stockyards.